want to keep exploring the first reading. Lori was asking me, are you going to talk about the gospel? And I said, no, I want to keep delving deeper. Last week, we explored that first reading, and it's sort of the same story. And I think it's very important. The scripture writer wanted to emphasize this journey of the people of Israel through the desert. It is a people on the move. In the Hebrew, it's an active verb. They're ongoing, they're journeying, they're walking, they're on a way. The journey is a metaphor of our spiritual journeys. Out of enslavement into the land of milk and honey. So I want to invite you once more to examine your own life, my life. How is my own spiritual journey of growth similar to the journey of the people of Israel leaving Egypt and going, journeying into the promised land? And what the story of Exodus tells us, this is not an easy journey. We wish we could just jump from Egypt into the promised land, but between the two, there is what? Desert, wilderness, hunger, thirst, doubt, wondering, is God really with us? Has God abandoned me? It is the story of a people stuck between the promise and its fulfillment. And that's a difficult place to be. You have been promised something, but it has not yet arrived, and you're in the middle, stuck between the two. Why does God lead the people through the wilderness? There were much shorter and safer routes. But nevertheless, the Spirit of God leads them through the most hardest part of that desert in the Sinai Peninsula. The wilderness, the desert, is a crucible where the people will be transformed from having hearts enslaved people to liberated hearts. The people of Israel were still enslaved within. Psychologically, they were still stuck in the past. They were still yearning for what was their life before. And this journey through the desert was a way to liberate their hearts. Isn't it true in our own spiritual, psychological journeys? Aren't we always like a little bit stuck from the past? And it is hard to let go of old habits, unhealthy habits, addictions, ways of thinking. It is hard to leave those behind. And the journey through the desert was the journey of letting go of those habits of mind, of heart, enslaved mentality, slavery in our hearts and in our minds. We needed to let those go. The stage of this journey between crossing the Red Sea and arriving to the Horeb is punctuated by thirst, hunger, and thirst. First, they arrive to this barren land and they find a pool of water, but it was bitter. They couldn't drink it. Moses throws a piece of wood and those bitter waters become sweet. Later on, they're hungry. We heard that weeks ago. Meat and bread rains down in the wilderness. And today, thirst again. The people are thirsty. It says, Moses, you've brought us out here. This is terrible. You're going to kill us. You're going to kill my children and my cattle. This is a disaster. And below that question was, where is God? That place is called Meribah, which means quarrel, or Massa, which means the test. It is a place where the people test God and quarrel against Moses. Bitterness, testing, and quarrel. Now, an important part of the spiritual journey, this journey of letting go our enslaved minds and hearts, is that we need to purify our image of God. Many times I've encountered even grown people that have an image of God that is not more than the image of God of a little child. I've talked with very educated men and women, And their image of God is like that of a 5 or 6 year old. A childlike image of God that can be coerced or to act. It's a little God that you can negotiate and prod him to do things for you. It is the God that I can put to the test, and I can tell him, God, I want this or that. If I do this and I do that. Even Jesus was invited to test God in this infantile way. Remember when the devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple and says, throw yourself down because God has promised. Proof that God is with you. Today we see it and people say, I will not wear a mask because God will protect me. It is the same infantile thinking. When we try to put God within our own way, we reduce God a little Santa Claus God, I call him. And that is not the God. And through the desert, the people of Israel had to wrestle with their image of God. Who is this God? And in the desert, God reveals that God is not this little Santa Claus manipulating God, but a God that transforms through tender love, even in the difficult passage through the wilderness. There's a beautiful prophecy from Hosea. And this is how Hosea the prophet describes God in the wilderness. When Israel was a child, I loved Israel. Out of Egypt, I called my child. But the more I called them, the further away they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals, the false gods. They burned incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with bands of human kindness, with cords of love. I treated them like those who lift infants to their cheeks and bent down to them and fed them. My heart winces within me, my compassion grows warm and tender. That is the God that leads the people of Israel. And it was a very different God from the God that they had learned. It was a different God, and they had to wrestle with that image of God. So this week, I would like to invite you to wonder in your own spiritual life, where is my desert? What is the wilderness that God is leading me into? We open up the papers, and I think there's plenty of desert around us. What is in me still an enslaved heart that needs liberation? What is in me still the heart of my heart in Egypt and needs to be let go? What are the images of God that are still childish images that need to be purified in order to progress in my own spiritual journey? And today this story talked about a rock. What an unlikely place to find water. Isn't it strange? In the whole desert, water comes from precisely the most unlikely place. Rock. You can say sand or something else, but rock. Out of rock, out of that place where you cannot imagine, came forth water. And I think that is an image for me, at least as a metaphor of an invitation to seek, where is God feeding me, quenching my thirst? And it might be in the most unlikeliest of places. So where is this rock in my spiritual journey today? What is that most unlikely place where God is feeding, quenching my thirst? Now, this is not a one-off process. Periodically, we arrive to the promised land, and sometimes we have to go back. And it's a process. It's a constant process of going back to the desert, arriving, and then having to go back. Prophet Hosea that I talked, he he wrote much later. And he, when the people of Israel were well established, they were well comfortable in the promised land, they had obtained what all they wanted and hoped for many centuries after this story, and they became corrupt. And it's interesting, Hosea tells them, I will now allure you, Israel. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There she shall respond as in the days of her youth, as at that time when she came out of the land of Egypt. It's one of my favorite passages of the Old Testament. This God, for the people who already established, who became used to God, used to the ways of the world, and had lost their original enthusiasm. And what does Hosea tell them? I need to bring you back to the desert. Imagine that. And what he does is the language of love. And he talks of Israel as a sheep, as her lover. And God says, because you're so accustomed, you have lost your spiritual heart anchoring, I need to bring you back. And I'm going to allure you. I'm going to make you love me, but I'm going to take you back to the place where we first met. It's like going in the first date. You and I would be going back to that French restaurant in Third Avenue. So God says, I need to bring you back to that place where we fell in love, where you love me with a tender heart of youth. And there in the desert, you will respond back as when you were young. I'd like to end with a poem. People think it's from Meister Eckhart. The way leads you into a wondrous desert, which extends wide and immeasurably fat. The desert knows neither time nor space. Its nature is unique. Never has a foot crossed the domain of the desert. Created reason has never attained it. It is, and yet no one knows what. It is here, there, far, near, deep, high, so that it is neither the one nor the other. Light and clear, completely dark, nameless, unknown, without beginning and also without end. It rests in itself, unveiled, without disguise. Who knows what its dwelling is? Let him come forth and tell us what shape it is. Become as a child. Become deaf. Become blind. Your own substance must become nothingness. Drive all substance, all nothingness far from you. Leave space, leave time, eschew all physical representation. Go without a way. The narrow footpath, then you will succeed in finding the desert. Oh, my soul, go out. Let God in. Amen.
Amen.